Welcome to the Tailored Life Podcast and Happy New Year. I am unbelievably excited for 2024 and I hope you are too. Today is going to be a bonus episode. Today I'm going to dive into three specific things that I believe are fundamental. They're absolutely necessary for setting successful New Year's resolutions. Like I'm talking the type of resolutions that are, they're not even resolutions. No, they're goals. Their outcomes. And I want to share these three principles, these three foundational keys, these fundamental steps, however you want to look at them. There are three aspects that I've found to be extremely critical in seeing through your New Year's goals. Because it's pretty common. We all know this, right? People set New Year's resolutions and they get to February, March, and they're gone. They forget about them. They're not doing them anymore. And a big piece of that is lack of action, right? I believe there's, you know, everything works in threes. It's actually hilarious, but there's three things that develop that you have to understand when you're even setting the goal to begin with. And these are not the three things I'm going to talk about today, but the three additional things. So maybe with six things, I guess. But these three first aspects that I've always talked about, the three A's, are going to be awareness. Could even be four, because you can attach acceptance to that, but awareness, action, acceleration, right? And awareness starts by reflecting, right? So before we can even get into what I think you need to consider, and there are three kind of unconditional aspects to setting New Year's resolutions that are going to help you be successful in them and get you past quarter two and still being successful with your goals. Get you to the end of the year, screw it. Not even just past quarter one or quarter two. I want to help you design New Year's goals, New Year's resolutions in a way that allows you to get all the way to December 2024, still living and accomplishing those goals that you set. Now, before we can even really set anything, right, we have to become aware and accept what already is. This is the first step in setting any type of goal. And awareness and acceptance comes first because if we can't create awareness around what in 2023 did not work, what were the things that we even want to change? How do we develop a why behind the goal that we are setting, which is something we're going to get into today, if we don't even know what we want to change? This is why I always say with people ask about intuitive eating and tracking macros, stuff like that. Intuitive eating is not a fat loss plan. It's not a fat loss diet. Tracking macros is, because tracking macros, it's numbers, it's metrics. You can't hide from numbers. You can't hide from the facts, the stats, the science, the data. It's clear cut right in front of you. Here is reality. And when you see reality, you become aware. And when you accept what is reality, now you can change what you've become aware of, which is where that second step comes into play, and that's action, right? So now that we've become aware of where we're at, what we did or did not accomplish in 2023, which would be to say what we did not accomplish is things that we are maybe regretful for, maybe we are like pissed about, maybe we're frustrated with, disappointed in. We all have those moments. I do. And I'm going to share my goals and how I'm approaching my goals this year. And some of that comes from the frustration of not getting where I wanted to be this year in 2023. I did a lot of great things, learned a lot of great lessons. I had a lot of great insights, but there's a lot that I didn't accomplish that I wanted to accomplish, to be real, right? But I need to become aware first. And instead of me throwing a pity party about it, woe is me, complaining, bitching, regretting, I'm just going to become aware of it and go, okay, I did that. I'm responsible of that. I'm taking ownership of that. Now I'm aware of that and I accept that. I accept that this is what it is. I am where I am. The result I have is the result I have. The lack of result I have is the lack of result I have. Plain and simple. Now that I've become aware of it and I can accept it, I can take action on changing it. And that's the second step. It's taking action. And this is where a lot of people fall off, because action is scary. Action is change. But I'd have you consider that until you repetitively take action and have proof of concept, proof of a result in your hand, you will never fully be able to be consistent, because you don't understand, you cannot fathom the benefits behind the result that you're accomplishing or that you are going to accomplish. I mean, really think about it, right? A good example of this is my 5-year-old daughter. And believe it or not, you know, after working with hundreds and hundreds, shit, at this point, thousands of clients over the years on personal development, nutrition, training, all these things, we're a lot like children. We're a lot like toddlers. There's a lot of commonalities and things that I can correlate between the two. But with a toddler, anything new is, I hate it, I don't like it, I don't want it, until they try it and they do it, and then it's their favorite. Which is really funny, right? I remember the first time we tried to get her to eat pizza. It was like, I hate pizza. I was like, well, first of all, don't use hate. It's a strong word. Second of all, you never had pizza. How do you know you hate it? I just know. Huh, you just know. Okay. And then I have to threaten or barter or do something to get her to take a bite of pizza. Lo and behold, now she wants pizza every single night. Same thing happened with steak. Didn't want steak. Didn't like steak. Hated steak. Now she loves steak. Same with chicken. Didn't like chicken. Hated chicken. Now she likes chicken. You know, broccoli, same thing. She loves broccoli. She'll eat broccoli raw. It's crazy. I don't even like doing that. Point is, hates it until they love it. Getting in the water, she was deathly afraid of it until she just did it and jumped in the water, and I just like forced her off of me and just kind of pushed her in there with her life jacket. And all of a sudden she was like, whoa, I'm floating. This is cool. It feels good. I'm swimming. I'm kicking my legs around. This is fun. It's splashing. Now she's a frog. She jumps in without being asked to at swim lessons, right? So the point is, she didn't understand. My daughter did not understand the benefit of what she was about to do because it was unfamiliar. So when you're setting goals, you've become aware, you've accepted what is, now you're going to take action. Action is scary and consistency is difficult because the result that you'll get from being consistent, from stringing along day after day after day, week after week after week, month after month after month of consistency, it provides an unfamiliar result or benefit with a very relevant and present and currently familiar sacrifice. The sacrifice is the time spent, the money invested, the work you have to do. You can see that because it's right in front of you. There's no denying it. I look at it, I see it, I have to do it. The result is an ROI that I'm not going to get for a while. Therefore, it's unfamiliar. I believe it's going to be there, but I'm kind of doubting it. I can't touch it. I can't feel it. I can't see it yet. So it's just a thought. It's just imagination right now. So you have to trust. You have to have faith in the process. And that's very difficult, which is why taking action is so hard for people to understand, which is why I actually think comparing yourself to others can be a good thing because it gives you a frame of reference to compare to. And I'm going to share that in a sec because that's one of the three things that I was actually going to talk about today. But now that we've got awareness, we've accepted what is, we're taking action. Despite it being hard, we're going to have faith in the process. We're going to take action because we know that action alleviates anxiety. Anxiety is the fear of unknown. Anxiety is the fear of what's to come. When you take action, you eliminate that being unknown. When you take action, the fear of unknown becomes the fear of reality. And reality is a lot less scary than what is fake, what is false, what is a story, what is make-believe in our minds. Right? I think it's Seneca or Socrates, one of the Greek philosophers, says, we often suffer more in our mind than in reality. And this is why. Such a great proverb or quote or however you want to say it is or whatever it is. Because we suffer in our mind more than reality because in our mind we create these stories and these false beliefs that are so terrifying. They're way beyond what reality actually will give us, right? So we take action and then we accelerate. And acceleration is just, it is the process, right? The process of getting results consistently. That's an amazing thing. We don't have that. I mean, there's nothing to that. It's just consistency. Once we become aware, we accept, and we take action, we've done all the hard stuff. Now we just got to keep going. That's a lot easier because once you accelerate, you're seeing the result. And when you see the result, it becomes much more motivating. It's like the success loop and the motivation loop I always talk about on here, right? You don't wait for motivation to strike you and then you take action and then you get results. You take action first. Then you get results, and those results is part of that acceleration process. When you accelerate through those results, you see the results, you believe the results, you feel, and you can truly understand the benefits behind what you're doing, and that motivates you because nothing's more motivated than your own success in reality right in front of you, and then you can take action again because that motivation kicks you forward again to take action again. And then it's a loop of success. You take action, you get results, you get motivated from your own results, which makes you take action again, you get more results, which motivates you again, and you just keep going and going and going. That's acceleration, right? So before you set your goals for New Year's Eve, which you already probably did because this is January 1st as you're listening to this. If you're listening to this on time, if you're listening to this the day it drops, I commend you for it. I appreciate you for it. I respect you for it. You're ready to get after it. It does not matter if you didn't set your goals. There's plenty of people who did not set their goals before the new year started. We still have 365 days left, 364 if you don't count today. So just get started today. You might not be working today because it's Monday and it's kind of a holiday, I think. I don't know. I'm working because I'm an entrepreneur and I love what I do. So I'm just going to keep going. But the point is, do that today. Make it a priority today, this week. So by next week, you're ready to go and you're attacking your goals. But first, you have to become aware and accept what happened in 2023. What you loved, what you didn't love, what went well, what didn't go well, what you could change, what you don't need to change, what's in your control, what's not in your control, what you regret, what you don't regret, the lessons you learned, the insights you have. Reflect on all of it. Become aware and accept it all. Then take action on a new plan that's going to get you to where you want to be, which is accelerating to the goal that you have in front of you. Now, the actual three things that I think are a little bit more, let's say, unconventional that I wrote down to share with you today, and I was getting kind of fired up about this morning when I was journaling and writing my own New Year's resolutions, because today, you know, today is December 28th as I'm recording this, and this was an unplanned podcast. I woke up not planning the podcast. I'm actually sick. I got sick the day before Christmas. My throat is a mess. I probably got like 10 more minutes in me and then I'm going to be hacking up a lung. But the point is I woke up, I listened to some stuff. I was reading, I was journaling. I've been doing this every morning. I've just been literally all week, every single morning this week, I have re-reflected on the year and rewrote my goals. Some of them are the exact same day to day. Some of them are not. And this is part of my process when I write New Year's goals and part of my process when I do quarterly goals as well sometimes. And I'm taking it more seriously than I ever have, because the last quarter of the year, I did not take my quarterly goals very seriously and I felt it and I saw the result from it and the result sucked. I'm going to be honest. I did not get as far as I wanted to. I was not as successful as I wanted to be in the latter part of the year. I had a lot of personal stuff go on this year, which I'm actually thinking about doing a full podcast on very soon and being very vulnerable and opening up about some of the stuff that happened behind the scenes in my life. And I'm also trying to convince my wife to come on the podcast, because I think it would be really cool to have her perspective, because she sees all of it firsthand. And I think it would help a lot of people. But point is it wasn't my best year. And I'm so excited for 2024, because I'm going to be able to turn the page on a lot of things and really, really push forward and accelerate. Right? I had a lot of struggles this year. I had a lot of insights from those struggles. I had a lot of downfalls. I had businesses started, businesses ended. I had money lost. I mean, I'm talking tens of thousands of dollars more than once, because I was taking risks. I was making gambles. I was trying to invest. I was pushing forward, because that's what you do when you try to be successful. You take risks. Sometimes they don't pan out. Many of the risks I've taken over the years have panned out, and I don't regret the risks I took this year, but some of them stung. I'm not going to lie. But I'm excited this year because I have so much knowledge, so much awareness, so many insights that are going to help me propel forward. And I just cannot wait to see my personal growth. I can't wait to see my family's growth, because we've created so much strength within my household because of these struggles. And on top of that, and the crazy part is the struggles, a lot of them have nothing to do with our family at all, honestly. It impacts the family, right? Because the family deals with it together and we build strength through it together. But nonetheless, I'm excited about that. I'm excited what TCM is going to do, because we have some big plans, and I've been working on things with the team at TCM that have just been a lot of work behind the scenes, and the ROI hasn't been seen yet because we can't release any of it yet. We can't put it into action yet. But anyway, there's three aspects, right? And so as I've been doing this every single day and I've been looking at my goals, I've been rewriting my goals, I've been reflecting on the year, looking at the situations, answering questions in my journal, things like that. There's three things that came to mind that I would say are unconventional that are really important. And the first thing that I think people need to actually do and ignore the advice of others on. So this is something that everybody should do before they set big goals for the year, for the quarter, for their life, for anything. And it's counterintuitive to what most people say. In fact, there's a famous quote that says, "Comparison is the thief of joy." And I like that quote, and I understand that quote, and I see how comparison can go down a bad rabbit hole and can take you to a negative place. But if you do not compare, you also do not have a frame of reference. So if I don't compare to others, if I don't study the success of others, the accomplishments of others, how do I know what's possible for myself? going back to the awareness and the acceptance and taking action and acceleration of your goals, when we take action, it can be scary because we do not understand. We are unfamiliar with the benefits behind the results. All we're familiar with in that moment is our current situation, which is work, which is time invested, which is money invested, which is sacrifice made. We're not familiar with the success yet because we haven't gotten there. However, if I compare myself a little bit and I create a frame of reference by doing so with people who have what I want and I use it as inspiration, not as negativity, it's a positive aspect. Now I have a frame of reference that creates a reality for the success I'm after. So when I'm fearing to take action and when I'm worried about taking action, I'm scared to take action because I don't understand what's to come of it because I'm unfamiliar with the result because I haven't gotten the result yet. I can look at others who have, and I can see that it's reality. I can see that it's possible. And I can sit there and say, if them, why not me? And I'd have you consider, as you're listening to this, doing the exact same thing. Look at others who have what you have the body you have the money you have, the job you have, the business you want, the relationships you want, the relationships with your kids, the relationships with your husband or wife, friends, family, where they live, the car they drive, like anything you want. Why is it not possible for you if it is possible for them? Honestly. And if there is something about them, it's because they didn't have to work for it. They were genetically gifted. They were silver spoon. It was handed to them. If any of those stories are not stories, if any of those things are reality behind the person you're comparing to, you're just comparing yourself to the wrong person. You're comparing yourself to the wrong story. Find somebody who doesn't have genetically gifted, isn't genetically gifted to get the body they have. Find somebody who wasn't handed their success and inherited it or whatever it may be. Find the person that had to work for the body, had to build the business from ground up, had to really forge and blossom the relationship they have with their husband or wife. And I literally do this. When I went through the whole Turn Pro episode, if you haven't listened to that, go listen to that because it's a great one to start the year with too. I looked at what do dads that I aspire to be like act like with their kids? And there's some comparison involved. And trust me, when I look at a dad who is crushing it and is doing things that I'm not doing, do I feel bad for myself? Do I feel kind of shitty for a moment? Of course, I'm human. Because I immediately go, damn, I'm not doing that. He's better than me. But I have to immediately shift from the emotional to the logical. And that's the big key here. When you're comparing yourself or your story to other story or your success or your potential success or your goals to what other people have, you have to do it from a lens of inspiration, not negativity, not bringing me down, but lift me up. And at first you're human, so you might think kind of negatively, but if you can immediately shift and go, well, wait, hold on. Don't think emotional, think logical. What are they doing? What do they have? How are they doing this? There's no reason why I can't act that way. I can't be that way. I control my attitude. I control my actions. I control my time. I control my effort. Even in some situations when you don't control your time, kids don't understand time. So if we're looking at the frame of lens of a parent and being the best parent, you can just look at it from a standpoint of my effort in the moment. It doesn't matter how many moments or how long the moments are. My relationship with my daughter will be better if my effort is increased in every moment that I am with her and I am more present. Plain and simple, end of story. That's it. Same thing with my wife. I've made the excuse of I don't have the time and it's so difficult to schedule things and we don't have a lot of family around that we can get babysitters for and have access to that in our neighborhood or anything like that. So I've made those excuses and then I just made it happen. I found a babysitter. I scheduled that babysitter once a month, every third Saturday of the month. Actually, it's every first Saturday of the month for months. Like I literally booked it out for months, put it in the calendar, scheduled with her. Thought of something creative to do with my daughter. What would she like? Let's do a movie night and we'll do it differently. One week we'll go, we do it once a month. This one's like the second Friday of each month. We go to the movie theater or I'll pull out the guest bed mattress and like do like a big slumber party when she's taking a bath. So when she comes out from the bath, there's like this huge like thing out there and I went and got candy and popcorn and stuff from the store and we'll buy a movie on Amazon, right? We've done that. She loved it. We can switch it up. I can put the projector up in her toy room and we can have a movie night up there. And then the third Saturday of each month is at-home date night. Okay, are we going to do wine tasting? Am I going to cook for Shannon? Is Shannon going to cook for me? What are we going to do? Put in the calendar, invite my wife, scheduled, it's done. Then the fourth one is a family game night. We're going to buy a new game each month. Once a month, you spend $20, $30 on a game. It's literally like a fraction of the cost of the movie theater. And we play a new game. We did this like one I highly recommend for families where you put whipped cream in this hand and then you got to like crank this thing and then it slaps you in the face with all this whipped cream. But like, you don't know who's going to get it. It's hilarious. But you're creating memories. It took me 5 minutes to think of that and plug it into my calendar. And then it's just all week. I get a reminder a week ahead and I have all week to plan what game we're going to get or what movie we're going to watch or what restaurant I'm going to book reservations for. It's so simple. But the point is, it goes back to, I compared myself to somebody who was already doing that. And I was like, man, why aren't I doing that? I could feel sorry for myself, or I can just do it and step the fuck up and my wife will love me for it. I'm going to choose option B. And you should too this year. Right? So compare yourself in a positive frame of mind. You need to have a frame of mind of what's possible for you and logically look at the situation as, why can't I accomplish this if they can? So no, comparison isn't always the best thing. And if you go down the negative rabbit hole of comparing yourself and why aren't you good enough and blah, 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 that can be a bad thing to do. But most often it's because you're comparing yourself to the wrong person and you're doing it with the wrong frame of mind and lens. Change your frame of mind, change the lens that you compare with, and you can create inspiration out of it and ideas and self-belief that allow you to become a better version of yourself in whatever area of your life you want. So that's point number one. Point number two is pain. You got to have pain. If you are setting a goal, you have to understand the pain behind the goal. And there's two ways to look at this. And both of them directly relate to your purpose, which is point number three, the why behind it all. So for pain, when I first got into the fitness industry, I was overweight. I was always a chubby kid. And then when I went to high school, I had some soccer injuries and got lazy, became a stoner. Just, it was a long story of unhealthy habits and lifestyle and lack of motivation. It's a depressing life to live. And I just got fat, plain and simple. Like, it's as simple as that. And after high school, it didn't change, right? Or I'm sorry, through high school, it didn't change. Right after high school, it didn't change until it got really bad. And then about a year after high school, I was like, I need to create a change. I lost about 50 pounds embarking on my journey, right? So at the time, the pain allowed me to create change because one day I looked in the mirror, butt naked after the shower, and I just finally, honestly, vulnerably looked at myself. Stepped on the scale for the first time in a long time. And I saw that I was 18 years old. I was 5'9", and I was like 210 pounds or something like that. Not an ounce of muscle in my body. And I stepped on stage at 159, 160 this year. So just like shredded to the bone, no fat on my body. So like, as you can see, no muscle whatsoever. And because I didn't go to the gym or anything like that, I wasn't athletic. And I just looked at myself and I was like, what are you doing, man? And I felt pain. I felt insecure. Just like I felt insecure when we would go to the pool or the lake with the friends. Just like I felt insecure when I kept pulling my shirt. Like, a lot of you guys know this feeling when like you feel like your shirt is stuck to your stomach and so you try to pull it off of your stomach. I used to hate that. And I used to think about it all the time. And I would think, are people looking at my shirt? Are they looking at my stomach? And I would pull my shirt off my stomach because I didn't want my shirt to touch my skin. Because if it touched my skin, then you would see my rolls. Right? I kept my arms down because I didn't want you to see my armpit sweat. I wore certain types of jeans because I didn't want it to look like the thighs were too tight. I wore shorts a lot. Because then it wouldn't be like super tight on my thighs and super baggy on my calves. Like, because my legs would chafe, right? Like, there was a lot of these little things that people don't think about unless you've been there. But there were pains and I had to face those. I had to accept those and become aware of those. And that pain allowed me to have something to run from and be like, I am tired of living this way. I'm going to move away from this pain by taking action and accelerating towards a better way of living. I'm going to move from this pain to the pleasure that I have in mind. Right? And the pleasure I have in mind was comparing myself to other people who already had what I wanted. If I'm being honest, I'm looking at that frame of like that state in that frame of that reframe. I can look at that frame of reference of a person who has accomplished what I want to accomplish. And I can say, I'm going from this pain to that pleasure. Why can't I accomplish that? There's no reason. Right? I looked at 5'9" bodybuilders and physique athletes. And I set a goal of stepping on stage before I had even stepped in the gym before yet. Literally. And I did it now more than once, but it's because I had that frame of reference. And it's also because I understood the pain I was in. And when I understood the pain I was in, I moved forward. Right. And now, for example, I don't have that same pain. It's a little bit different because I'm not insecure about my body anymore because I changed it. So at a certain point, you can't always run from the same pain, but the pain develops. Now it's more of a trigger, I would say. it's something that really bugs me. Or as Family Guy, you would hear, grinds my gears. What grinds my gears is when people who are everyday people, average people who have the potential to become above average, to do what I've done, to lose the weight, to build the muscle, to build a business, to create their own schedule, to try harder, to personally develop, to have a better relationship, to do whatever they want to do. It triggers me. It bugs me. It really grinds my gears when they don't take action, when they don't pursue that, especially when I can see in them that they have the potential to do so. Some of you listening are those people. And when I talk to people like you, I get so worked up because I'm like, why aren't you trying harder? Why aren't you moving forward? Why aren't you doing the thing? Because you can do the thing. You can accomplish the thing if you just do it. Just go for it. Just take action. What is the worst that could happen? It literally drives me insane. And so my purpose, which is the next point and is part of the pain that I have that fuels my success and my motivation to grow and to pursue and to build the mission of Taylor Coaching Method, is that. It's that trigger. My why and my purpose is to be the guy that helps the people who can't see the light at the end of the tunnel. All the people who are the average people who believe they're not supposed to have more in life. They're not supposed to achieve more. They're not supposed to live in the body, the ripped body, or the have the better hormones, or have the better energy, or have better sex, have better relationships. They, for some reason, believe that there's not more out there for them, that they can't be positive, that they can't be enthusiastic, that they can't be energetic, that they can't be charismatic, that they can't be the person that goes out and gets it, that inspires others, that creates success, that starts their own thing, that builds their physique. That drives me nuts because you can. Everybody can. Anybody can. We all have the potential to do so. And when I see somebody with potential, which is everybody, not doing so, I go insane. And that fuel, that desire, that trigger inside of me creates a purpose to create change. I am a change maker for those people because of that thing that pisses me off so bad deep inside. And it's a positive thing at the end of the day because I want to help people change. But see, that passion comes from a pain. I saw what it did to me, and I imagine myself never creating that change and what my life would be today, and I get real, real worked up. I get real sad. Like the thought of me not finding fitness and what my life would be like today if I never created that change and lost that weight and embarked down this personal development journey is depressing. It's so depressing. It already was depressing. And to think about that continuing for another 30 years is so depressing. It makes me very sad. And so with that sadness, with that pain, and with the imagination of myself never creating that change, I have a fuel. I have a purpose that drives me to help others create change. Because I know the change that can be created in them. And I know the life that they could live and the life that's on the other side of that journey waiting for them. Maybe it's waiting for you. I understand it because I lived it. And I also changed it for myself. And so when I come back to these bullet points, we have to compare ourselves with the right frame of reference so we have an inspiration. We have something that we can logically see and say, if them, why not me? Then we have to figure out and become aware of the pain we currently have. What is that pain inside of us that we're trying to get rid of, that we're trying to create change from, that we want to run from to get to the pleasure that's on the other side? And then we associate that with a purpose. What is our why? Are we doing this to inspire others so they can create change too? Are we doing this to get rid of that pain that we live with every day? Are we doing this because our kids need role models? Are we doing this because our work depends on it? Our life depends on it? Our health depends on it? Are we doing this because it allows us to serve others? And many know that there's no greater feeling in the world than serving others. What is the purpose behind what you do? And how is that going to evolve over time? So when you're setting your goals, you got to become aware and accept what is. Then you got to take action. And that's the only way you're going to accelerate. And in doing so, I'd have you consider that you should compare yourself with the right frame of reference to get inspiration from what others have done and realize, logically speaking, by removing the emotional state of mind you're in, that you can accomplish it too. And then find your pain. What is causing you pain right now that you need to get rid of, that you need to run from, that you need to get away from so you can move into a place of pleasure? And within that, determine what your purpose is. What is the why behind your goals? If you're stuck, if you're ready to start the new year, if you need to lose weight, if any of this touched you, if any of this made you feel like you need somebody to guide you through, this is what we do for a living. So shameless plug, head to tailoredcoachingmethod.com/online-coaching or the homepage, click the yellow button. There's a link in the description of this episode as well. Reach out to me at any time if you feel necessary. We just want to create change in people. And this podcast was recorded on the fly. This is literally 30 minutes of me just randomly walking into my office and going, I'm going to record a podcast for everybody who needs a kick in the ass, some fire under their ass, and needs to understand how to properly set their 90-day goals for the new year. And I say 90-day goals because, yes, you should have an idea of where you want to be at the end of the year, but that's a long road. So start with the first quarter, but ultimately figure out who you need to become this year and do so with the steps that I gave you today. I appreciate you guys listening. Go leave us a 5-star rating and review if this podcast helped you. Share it on your Instagram story and tag me at Cody McBroom. I'd love to share it as well. And thank you for listening. And I truly hope that you have a blessed, prosperous, and fruitful new year. Happy New Year, guys.